When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Welcome to Houston Sports Talk with your host, Robert Land.
Thanks for checking into the best Houston sports podcast, part of the Believe Network. And joining me to take an in-depth look at New Rocket, AJ Griffin, is a Believe Network colleague, Bryce Lewis, who covers the Atlanta Hawks, is host of the Believe in Hawks podcast. And first of all, thanks so much for giving us a few minutes, Bryce. But what can you tell us about what went wrong with AJ Griffin in the ATL?
I mean, I think what happened with AJ is obviously the rookie year was the year that everybody had a lot of hope. You know, he played well, hit game winners. He showed a game that showed, oh, this guy could maybe be a starter, maybe a high level player in this league. And I think what happens when you have the transition from Nate McMillan to Quinn Snyder, I think the role change and the way the team wanted to play changed, and that affected AJ. And then going into this past season, I think Quinn made him more of a spot up shooter, which I don't think is his game, which AJ can shoot. It's just that's not his game. He's more of a guy who can break down defenses, has good wiggle, good moves, you know, can get open shots and create for himself. And so I think when they kind of changed the way he was supposed to play, I think that affected his play. And then he also had some off the court issues that people were talking about, some stuff with his family, things like that. So we don't know mentally where he was. That was impacting him as well as the season went on. I know he had to be away from the team for a little bit because of those issues as well. So clearly a lot was going on this past season for him. And then maybe it's just one of those things where when it got back to it, wasn't playing well, fell out of the rotation and had stuff going on. It just seemed like maybe it was the best idea to potentially just give AJ a fresh, brand new start and allow him to, you know, go into something with a clean slate.
Going back to those missed games for personal reasons, have you heard any mutterings about his personal life that could have really lingered throughout the season, maybe affecting his game this whole season?
You know, I don't know as much as I don't know more than what maybe other people know. I mean, like I said, I know there was something I saw trending about like a family member of his and dealing with like kids and just like other stuff, like messy stuff. But the thing is, we didn't know. Nobody knew if that actually impacted him directly. Obviously, his dad got fired from Milwaukee. We don't know how that affected things. I mean, so it was there was no direct exact thing that happened that I can say that I know for sure impacted AJ. I just know that he just had some stuff that he was dealing with that he had to step away and had to get himself back where he needed to be before he could rejoin the team later in the season.
Were you surprised at the trade value back on AJ, only a second round pick? And I'm wondering if you believe that this deal was kind of a return a favor after the Rockets gave the Hawks those second round picks last year to take on Garuba and Ty.
I mean, realistically, he hasn't really played that much in a year and he hasn't done anything that could have really increased his value. So to get him for a second round pick for a guy that, you know, you've liked in the second round and that's why you clearly wanted to make this move, I think it's fine. I mean, obviously a lot of Hawks fans will probably tell you that, you know, he was our first round pick and, you know, we're trading him for a second. And, you know, again, you hang on to what you've seen, what you think he can be and think that's all we could really get for AJ. But overall, I think, you know, that's pretty much probably what you could get for AJ unless you were going to package him along with maybe another player for a bigger deal. Clearly, that's not something they were targeting here. They said, listen, maybe you guys could use a guy like AJ, you know, in your backcourt. Obviously, I don't know where your rotation is with that. You know, I know you guys still have Jalen and Van Fleet and them and figuring all that out. But for the most part, I think that the value, I mean, even though people don't like it, I mean, that may have been really what you could get AJ if you were trading him solely by himself.
The thought coming out of the draft is worst case scenario, he's a 3-and-D guy. The analytics this past season was the defense was bad, but is the defense that bad? I mean, that's the one thing that we've heard is sort of the knock coming in. He can shoot the ball. It looks like, you know, his shooting percentages that Rockets would kill for somebody that could shoot like that from three. But what about the D?
I think AJ can play defense. I don't think it's going to be like a strength of his, but I think he can do it. Obviously, he's not a small guy. I think he has some issues this past season just adjusting to Quinn's scheme too. defensively. And I think that's something that also impacted him. But I don't think AJ's a guy you can ask, like, hey, yeah, shut somebody down. I don't think that's what he's there for. But I do think he has the ability to play defense. I just think it depends on what you're asking him to do defensively and everything like that. But, I mean, for the most part, if he can get back to that AJ from his rookie year, and if you watch the film there, you'll see a guy who put an effort defensively, was able to be a little bit disruptive at times, and then obviously goes along with the offensive game that he was also able to present as well.
What's the difference for people that didn't watch a whole lot of Hawks games this year, and there's probably a lot of people that weren't watching a lot of Hawks? Like, what's the difference between what Nate McMillan was doing both offensively and defensively compared to Quinn?
I think Nate had more of an ISO style, old school offense. I mean, I think that that's it. So it lends itself to guys who can handle the ball. Obviously, Trey can handle the ball. DeJounte can handle the ball. AJ can handle the ball. If any Rockets fans watching this, go and watch AJ highlights. You'll see him breaking down a lot of defenders. You'll see him attacking guys. You'll see him being able to create a shot. You'll see him being able to basically, you allow him to get the ball in his hands and operate. You know, he's able to do that. And then with Quinn, I think, since he was basically the last rotation at the beginning of, like, the last rotation spot at the beginning of the year, Quinn pretty much wants the ball in Trey's hands and DJ's hands for the most part. He allows other guys to play make, but it's very much, he always says the three things is either pass, drive, or shoot. He doesn't want a lot of thinking. And so when AJ got into the rotation, he just pretty much viewed AJ or wanted AJ to be a shooter. Just, you know, get the ball, shoot for the most part. I mean, obviously at times AJ still was able to show some flashes here and there, but it's just, he wasn't allowed the same opportunity like he was with Nate. Like under Nate, you know, I just think because of the way the offense was, which I mean, obviously there was issues, obviously with ISO offenses, but the benefit is if you have guys who can break down a defense and can, you know, create for themselves, it can be effective. And I think when you watch that, you'll just see AJ being able to do that because he's good on the move. Well, he's a good cutter, someone who can move if you allow him to keep moving around as well. And, you know, can just do different things. If you watch his game, it's a very smooth game. And I think you were able to see that more with Nate McMillan when he was the coach than you were with Quinn because of the way two different ways they were wanting him to play in two different positions. Because Nate, they used him more as like a true two, kind of like, hey, you're part of the backcourt, make something happen. Where I think with Quinn, it was kind of like, is he a two or a three? And, you know, okay, well, we need you to shoot.
What kind of personality and work ethic does AJ Griffin have? What have you learned about him just off the court so far in his time there?
I mean, as far as I know, AJ's a hard worker. He's somebody who works. He loves the game of basketball. He's had to change his game. A lot of people forget AJ coming out of high school, he was one of the most athletic guys in high school. And he had a couple of knee injuries that kind of had to make him adjust. So obviously having to adjust your game at that age to be able to still be effective, I mean, that shows the type of effort and commitment you had to make to that. And so AJ, as far as I know, he works. He never complains. He's a very positive teammate, very well-liked guy on the team. Everybody loved him. The city loved him. Never rubbed anybody the wrong way for the most part, you know, and for the most part, AJ, to me, he's been a guy who pretty much willing to be coached. I know Ime, you know, a coach, you know, coaches hard. So I think him and AJ can have some good chemistry. And I think that could potentially work for him in the grand scheme.
Were you disappointed that they've traded him so early in his career? I mean, he's still super young. I think, what is he, like 20 now, 21, something like that?
Yeah, I was sad. I mean, because it's one of those things where, I really wanted him to be successful. I really didn't. I want to be successful in Atlanta, but I also understood with the DJ trade, it changed things. It changed things for him. And then when Quinn came in, it changed things for him. They basically went to a three-guard rotation last year, which was Trey, DJ, and Bogey. So there really wasn't a lot of minutes for him. And so it kind of started becoming a thing where if he's not going to get the time to play and be able to continue his development that way, but he's also not being called down to the G League, even though the G League's looked at as like a vanquishing for fans sometimes. It's one of those things where, you know, it's like, okay, well, I want AJ to be able to be successful in this league. So if the best case scenario, if the Hawks did not plan for him to be a very important part of what they want to be and in the rotation, is to potentially find a place that maybe he could find some playing time and also continue his development. Because like you said, he's super young. And like I said, there's potential there. Like AJ could really be a big steal for Houston if you guys allow him to, you know, play up to his strengths.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwoodone, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwoodone now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/westwoodone.
All right, quick reminder for our viewers and listeners that we'll have more Rockets conversation with my co-host, Stephen, in tomorrow's show. And you'll hear from a Kentucky Wildcat insider on Wednesday about Reed Sheppard. Make sure you're subscribed on YouTube and your favorite audio app, so don't miss it. While I have you, Bryce, I'd love to hear what you think about the DeJounte Murray trade. Are you happy with the value from a Hawks perspective?
I am, because I'm able to view it from a different perspective than some people may when they just look at the trade as a whole. One of the biggest issues the Hawks had last year, in the last 2 years, is they have been god-awful at point of attack. And that's just because you can't have Trey and DeJounte being your point of attack guys, especially with DJ playing the two in that position. And so it just made it so easy to score against them. And so even though the Hawks could score against anybody, they couldn't stop anybody. You know, and, that, and like I said, it's not because DJ's not a good player. It's just, it just wasn't a good fit. It wasn't a good match, and it ruined the defense. So you made that trade. You got Dyson Daniels, who some people think could be an All-NBA defender one day. He's a very, very highly touted defensive player who immediately fixes that point of attack issue for the Atlanta Hawks, depending on whatever we do, because there's still other moves potentially be made. In that regard, they've improved the defense. And technically, I like to say this too to people who are like, oh, well, the Hawks play better with DeJounte. Well, if you look at the last two full seasons of Trey at the helm, they made the postseason, and I believe they were both had winning records the last 2 years. Trey was before DeJounte got there. So, I mean, it's not like the Hawks haven't been able to win with just Trey. Now, I don't know if that's the plan to just go back to that one star and get just good players around him. But I think in terms of DJ, I think it was good for him because he gets to go back to his natural position in New Orleans. And I root for him. I have no ill will towards him. I want him to be successful. Obviously, I know it may not be the greatest news for you guys because you guys have to now play him multiple times a year more. But, you know, I think he'll be good there. But from an Atlanta perspective, we got the Lakers first round pick, which could be valuable. Depending what happens with the Lakers next year, that could be a very valuable pick in a very deep draft class that people are talking about. And then we get another first-round pick in 2027. So, and then, you know, Larry Nance Jr. as well as a veteran. So, like I said, it may not look great from that perspective, but in terms of what the Hawks are trying to do, I think this actually helped with something that they need to really fix, which is the point of attack defense.
What's the approval rating in Atlanta on the draft and Reese Shea? Did the Hawks fans agree with the pick? And if not, who was their consensus guy?
On draft night, when that draft pick was made, a lot of people weren't happy about it. And then that's just, you know, I think a lot of people would rather have Sarr. I think that was the guy. Or even Clinton. I think Hawks really wanted to fully guarantee that Clint Capela was going to be moved and that they just wanted a new rim-protecting center, even though it seems like Sarr views himself as a four with them Wizards signing Valanciunas. I believe that now, from that day, a lot of fans were happy. After the presser, seeing that, you know, Reese Shea looks like he's excited to be here. He wants to work. Wants to help the team, wants to put in whatever he needs to do to be successful. I think some fans are just like, all right, I'll give him a chance, which I've always just been like, give him a chance. You know, I mean, I'm not going to lie. I wasn't that excited about it either. But at the end of the day, if he ends up working out, it ends up working out. And I mean, this draft class wasn't a certified number one. There was a very high chance, depending whoever we drafted, people were not going to be happy. It just wasn't that type of class where you're just like, next year you get Cooper Flagg. You would assume most of your fan base is going to be pretty ecstatic about that. You know, I'm excited for Reese Shea, but I know the fans are a little skeptical. But we'll see. We'll have to see what Atlanta's plan for Reese Shea is this year with the team.
You mentioned Clint Capela, former Rocket. A lot of fans here still very fond of him. Is he going to get traded? Are there any other Hawks that you see getting dealt this offseason in this sort of semi-reset that they're having?
I think people believe is the most imminent out of most of the guys we have on the roster, especially since he's on an expiring deal. Obviously, it makes him very valuable because now, you know, he's not on the books for multiple years. A guy who can still rebound. still get you double-double, still can play some defense and do some good things, good screener, good roller, everything. So I think he's still close to getting traded. It just depends on what's out there, and it depends on what the Hawks want in return for him. So definitely a possibility. Any team that needs a backup big, I think, you know, I think Clint Capela would be a good move for a team. That will help indicate what's going, because the Hawks have some other decisions they have to make. They got to potentially sign Jalen Johnson to an extension, a rookie extension this offseason. So, I mean, I could see them trying to free up some money. Again, as every team's trying to stay under the luxury tax, the Hawks probably will have to make another move, and that's another reason why I also think Clint is more likely to be traded.
Do you want to see them keep Trey? I mean, what's your feeling on Trey after watching him the last few years and, like, what he can do potentially as far as taking this team to another level?
I am 100% about keeping Trey. You made an aggressive move with DJ, and it didn't work. And I don't think that should be an indictment on Trey. You know, Trey had his first major injury in his career last year. You know, and I know that affected some things as well. For what he means to this team and what he's done for the franchise so far, I just think, you know, we've seen him at the highest level ball and play. Last time he was in the postseason, if people remember the Boston series, the last four games of that series, I mean, Trey led the playoffs in four quarter points to, like, the West Eastern Conference Finals during that playoff season. Because, I mean, he was hooping against Boston. Like, he was showing the type of player he could be. Everybody remembers the game five, the deep threes to win the game against Boston. Obviously, 2021, everybody remembers that. We've seen him play at a super high level and win. And I think the Hawks haven't done the best job of surrounding him with the best talent or to help maximize his skill set. And so I think what they've slowly been doing over the last couple of years is starting to add some guys that are better suited for him. And again, we'll see if there's another star that they maybe want to pursue this offseason. But I'm for keeping Trey and keeping this going. He has a couple more years left on this contract he just signed a few years ago. And then maybe you'll revisit it at that point. Because obviously when you get to that third contract, that's when, you know, players start to really be like, all right, do I really want to be here? Or, you know, do I look to move somewhere else? So as far as I'm aware, I want Trey to stay. I don't think he'll be traded. I think the options like LA and San Antonio, where he was connected to, doesn't seem likely now. Could there be, I mean, Pelicans team out of the picture. So I feel like they're committed to building around Trey and then seeing how the season goes and seeing how the progression goes. And then, you know, you just kind of reevaluate year to year.
Yeah, it seems like with some of the moves that they've made, Risa, Shea, Daniels, they're trying to add real length in 2 through 4 to kind of cover his insufficiencies on defense.
Yeah, definitely. Like, you know, I think one thing Trey doesn't get talked about is his last year, he actually put a lot more effort into defense. I think he's committed to what Quinn wants to do. Obviously, you know, with his height and size, he's not going to be able to lock anybody up. We know that. But, you know, be effective, get steals, opportunistic turnovers, things of that nature. You know, sometimes just, you know, best thing you can do, as long as you try on defense, you know, connect, be on good on help defense, recover, rotate. I mean, that's all you can really ask for out of him. If he does that well, you feel like you can put enough defenders around him where they'll still allow the defense to still be good. If you think about, you know, Dallas, I mean, technically Kyrie and Luka aren't the best defenders in the world, but they still had a really good defense in the postseason. So, I mean, it's just really about effort. Now, obviously, when you saw the effort kind of wane for Luka, I mean, you know, we saw what happened. But, you know, as long as Trey's not having those types of things where he's just not trying, then it's fine. So, like I said, for a smaller guard, you're getting guys that can defend and can be versatile and switch. And I think that's extremely important, especially in today's NBA.
I got to show you something real quick. I think you're going to get a kick out of Bryce. When Trey was 17, he was on the USA Junior Select team, and they had practice in Houston at my high school alma mater's gym. Here is a quick clip from my interview where he talks about his relationship with Buddy Hield, who was playing at OU at the time in Trey's hometown of Norman.
That's definitely motivated me. I mean, he's been like an older brother to me. I mean, it's definitely been a good mentor for me, being able to look up to him and see his work ethic and see where he's come from as a freshman and moving here from the Bahamas and Kansas City. I mean, it's definitely been a blessing to me for me to be around that. But I'm happy for him. I'm very happy for his family as well. I know where he comes from, and I'm happy for his success and all that. And I'm very supportive of him.
Little baby face Trey Young there for you.
Man, it's funny because I'm like, man, still got the same haircut and everything, man. That ain't changed. The only difference is now he's rocking a beard. Hey, listen, it's funny you bring up the USA things because that could be a whole other discussion about how he hasn't been on the USA team. But that's cool, man. That's cool he was out there, man.
Definitely. Yeah, that was Michael Porter was out there as well. I was on the same team. And it's my first chance I ever saw those guys, obviously, Porter and Trey Young, and talked to them and stuff. So, yeah, it was crazy. I mean, the fact that they were in town, but not just in town, but they were playing at my old high school. And I actually taught at the high school for a couple of years too. So I wanted to ask you before you go, what's the latest on Believe in Hawks, and tell us everything that you got going on, because I know you do way more than the podcast.
Yeah. So yeah, I do believe in Hawks cover the team. Obviously, try to stay up with them. Got a probably episode come out tomorrow or tonight, just breaking more down with the DeJounte trade. You know, I try to bring different guests on. I've been doing where any team that we've maybe been connected to in a trade, I try to bring on. And obviously, just breaking down any big storylines from the team. So definitely been putting in work there. Obviously, I also do Falcons content, so that's about to rev up for me as well. Once training camp gets in for them, plan to get credentialed to that, and also for the Hawks this season. And then, and I guess my day job is a news producer, so I also do that. So, yeah, I'd say I'm pretty busy around the clock, I feel like, dealing with all different types of things. But definitely Bleeba Hawks is my baby. And, you know, if anybody wants to check it out, definitely do that. Appreciate any love, anything of that nature, man. Just love it, love of the game, too. I love basketball, so I try to keep up with everybody if I can and just, you know, be connected.
I should have brought it up earlier, but, you know, I haven't asked yet. How do you feel about the Rockets and what they're doing and the direction that they're going in and some of these young guys?
You know, it's funny. Last year, I remember when they made those signings and they got email, I was like, oh, man, Houston, watch out for Houston. Like, they might be sneaky good. Now, obviously, West Conference is really tough, but, like, Rockets could be good. And I think they're going in the right direction. I think it's just for you guys just figuring out what you guys want to be. Obviously, I know you guys had some injuries last year that kind of hurt you guys. You almost were able to sneak into the play in at the end of last year, kind of, you know, going on that run before the end of the season. But I think, you know, Houston's going in a good direction. It's just finding the right pieces and then also figuring out, okay, who's going to be your best player? And is your best player good enough to put you up there in the Western Conference? Obviously, you gave that money to Van Fleet. I know some people are wondering, would y'all move off Jalen Green? Why is your center's name not popping up? Shingun, yes. I know some people think that maybe would Houston move off of him potentially. I think, you know, those are big questions that you guys have to answer moving forward, because, you know, that could be the difference between you guys making the postseason this year, maybe missing it again. Obviously, I know Ime's trying to really get you guys disciplined, obviously from what you had before, and trying to get you guys on the right track. But I think in the Western Conference, where it's really tough, you just got to make sure that you know who you are, you know your identity, and that you're able to be able to execute that against the best teams. Obviously, Dallas is getting better. We don't know what the LA is going to do. Denver is going to, obviously, they're going to be a good team. Minnesota is a team on the rise. So Houston has a lot of competition over there. And so they got to be able to make some moves and really fix their deficiencies to be able to, like I said, make that step up. You know, Dylan Brooks, man, like, even though he's very, you know, I remember him trademarking early when we played you guys earlier in the season, but, you know, him, you know, setting the tone defensively, all of those things I think are really important for you guys moving forward. If you guys want to, like I said, take that next step, which I'm sure you guys are looking at for next season to feel like, okay, we're moving forward as a franchise and trying to get somewhere.
I'll leave everybody with a little fast fact on the new Rocket, AJ Griffin. And if you haven't heard it already, the craziest thing is that Jeff Green played with his dad, Adrian, to start his career. And now he's going to be playing with his son. So that's kind of a really cool story there. And I just want to remind everybody, too, you can find Bryce at Brycey_2K on X. So if you're watching this visually, you see it. But audio wise, it's Brycey_2K. I can't thank you enough for the insight into AJ. Great stuff, Bryce.
Yes, sir. I appreciate you having me on. Like I said, Houston fans, I think you guys will love AJ. Treat him right. Great guy. I think he'll be a great player for you guys.
You're listening to Houston Sports Talk.
Hey, don't forget to support us by subscribing and commenting on YouTube. You can always listen to us on Spotify, Apple, or your favorite podcast app. Tell your friends about us and share our show links on social media. Spread the word, everybody. Thanks for listening.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.